Welcome to the Honesty Talks podcast. I am so glad you are joining the conversation today. I hope that you will dig deep with us, think honestly, and allow God to challenge us. As we explore, it is my hope that we grow and see more together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Honesty Podcast. And right now we are actually going to be doing a series of everyday devotionals for counting the Omer in this season between Easter, Passover, Easter, Shavuot, and Pentecost. So there's this period of time that in the Jewish tradition they count what is called the Omer. And today, to help, actually for the next couple weeks, I have Jessica with me here, Jessica Larrabee, to help us walk through this every day for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to say hi and actually explain what is an Omer.
Hi, yes. I would like to state that the Omer is 7 weeks, but we are starting in already at week 5, so we'll be doing the last 3 weeks of it. And the reason that we're okay with already starting halfway through is because an Omer is the amount that will fill you spiritually. So it is the perfect amount that will give you how much you need, and it will last for how long you need it. So no matter where you start, enter into it, you will still get what you need out of counting the Omer and sitting in what it means and reflecting with God on what the Omer will bring to you.
Awesome. And the historical reference to the Omer is, first it's used in Exodus to refer to the amount of manna taken every day. So that's kind of the spiritual filling that you're talking about.
Yes.
And historically, it was used to count down the days from Passover to when the people gathered around Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And this throughout time, also when the temple was operational, built, they used this period of time from Passover until Shavuot, which is first fruits, to count grain offerings and what they would offer to God, their first fruits.
Yes, and the first use is in Exodus 16, and that is something we like to do a lot, is look at where's the first use in the Bible. So that is where we get the definition from, is related to counting the manna. And it also relates to, if you count the Omer, but then try to hoard it and control it for yourself, it becomes rotten and stinks, which is what happens if they tried to keep the manna for too long. So it is the balance of holding what God has given you, but not trying to control it.
Awesome. And there is a lot of historical references too, of like counting the Omer is, in history, it was an agricultural society. And so offering first fruits of their harvest was a big deal because it was everything that they did. It was how they lived. They grew all of their own food, and they offered the first fruits of that to God. And the Omer, in where it first shows up in scripture, the word Omer, using to count, is in Exodus, but it's in the spiritual sense of counting the amount of manna God provided for the people. And so that's how that is like hooking together, that there's this, it is really the spiritual context in what we are counting in ourselves and leading up to being at the mountain of God with the people of God. And also, what are we offering during this time frame in first fruits? And then following the Mount Sinai in first fruits time is Pentecost. Mm-hmm. It's like a couple days after that, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that all these things, like the timelines that don't happen all at once, they happen through time, are not happening on accident.
Correct. Yes. And when we look at Exodus 16, it says it is enough to fill your head and your soul. So it's really emphasizing on God's provision being enough for you physically, but also being enough for you spiritually, mentally, and just really how you inhabit the space with time and trusting that God's provision will continue to come.
And also with the historical context of offering grain, it's also the work of your hands is what's needed to be surrendered to God too.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just about taking, there's a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that the historical and, well, they're both historical because manna happened way before offering of grain, but like throughout time, that there's a both.
And I think it teaches us how to hold the passing of time better. Like, we are just leaving Passover, which is about what are you leaving during this season? And then it teaches us how to be mindful with our time as we move forward and as we're leaving out of this space, and just the intentionality of being present with God so we don't go back into the narrow place that we just left.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening and might not know what Passover is about, to give you a little background, Passover is 7-8 days long, and it is a whole week. And we celebrate during this time the exodus of the people from Egypt. And Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim means narrow place. So there is a large spiritual truth to every year at Passover. We are looking at what are the narrow places that we have become slaves to. We work worshiping, serving other things other than God that we need to leave in life. And those can be spiritual realities, and they can also be physical realities. They can be jobs, relationships, things we believe about ourselves that we need to leave. So in this season where we've identified things to leave, counting the Omer is then a way to be more intentional and present with yourself and to not fall back into those patterns, mm-hmm. and really to make space for growth and what Omer. There is a structure and how we meditate on this and count it every day. And it involves prayers and a structure. So I'm going to let Jessica explain the structure of counting the Omer.
Yes, there are 7 different themes, and each week has its own theme, and each day has its own theme. And so you sit in what the weekly meaning is overall, as well as you sit in what the daily meaning is and how that plays a part into the weekly meaning.
So how it intersects. Awesome. And there's, when we're doing this, there's room for however, whatever God is speaking to you as you are counting, mm-hmm. and those weekly themes and daily themes, how they intersect. There'll be things that God points out to you that really stick with you. And really, it's a practice of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Hearing where God is leading you and what you need, because what Trin might need is different from what I need and what I'm going to get out of the counting.
So we want this to be a richness of space that's provided as we count the Omer, that there's room for individually we're going to encounter that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hope that you get a lot of richness out of these devotionals. We're going to share how we both interact with it, which is very different, and that there's room for how God may be moving in you in the counting of the Omer, mm-hmm. as well.
Good evening. We are in the 43rd day of the Omer. Today is May 9th, and we are in the week of Malchut, which is the 7th week of the Omer. Malchut means sovereignty, dignity, mastery, completion, reflection, divine presence. The people are David, Rachel, and Esther, and the color is blue.
And we are in the day of Chesed, which is loving kindness, benevolence, generosity, grace, altruism, and unconditional love. And the people are Abraham, Rebecca, and the color is white. I feel like this is a heavy week.
Yeah, I mean, when you just have mastery and completion with everything, that's going to be heavy.
Yeah, and divine presence. Like, you can't escape the divine presence in the week of Malchut because you have to hold everything in that context.
I think it's like a good mix of heavy, though. Like, the blue is heavy, but then you have the white that it's like the fluffy clouds in the sky.
Yeah, like the loving kindness of the divine presence, or the benevolence of the divine presence, or the generosity of the divine presence. Yes, it's a very feel good, fluffy.
It's a fluffy weight, like, yes, a pound of feathers instead of a pound of bricks.
Yeah. And the unconditional love of divine presence and the grace of divine presence. I feel like that's like all of the, those are all related.
Oh, absolutely. I like the idea of like the unconditional love of reflection.
Oh. Or how can you have unconditional love without reflection?
Mm-hmm. And even self-reflection. Like, you need to reflect upon yourself and work on yourself constantly, even to love yourself.
Hmm. That's true. Or what's sticking out to me is the unconditional love of completion. Or what, like, I'm thinking along the lines of how unconditional love could bring about completeness.
Say more.
Well, I think of God. I mean, isn't that our ultimate reflection or example of unconditional love? And God provides shalom and completeness. And how, like, some of that completeness and transformation can be brought to our lives and us to other people's lives if we actually know how to unconditionally love.
Yeah.
And God has to be present, because we're, I don't, my own personal thing is I don't know that we're able to do that outside of God. Like, unconditionally love.
Yeah, I would agree. I would even say often our love falls short of that.
Oh, 100%. Or we put like conditions on it that we, sometimes we know we're putting conditions on it, but other times I don't think we know we're putting conditions on it.
Absolutely not. I think if we were walking through this entire Omer up until this point with like a certain relationship, by now we would know the conditions that we put on it. But like just in general, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because like this is the week of reflection. So if we like reflected back upon everything that we had looked at before this, we would be more aware of the intention that we bring to the relationship.
Yeah. I also think of dignity and grace together. Like the dignity that grace provides. Because I feel like grace can be a very real representation of restoring someone or something's dignity.
Yeah, I agree. And there's even people that, like, once their presence enters the room, like, they have a dignity to how they act, but then you can just feel, like, the grace follow just their presence.
Yep, I'd agree. And I think of God, you know, bringing dignity to humanity with grace. Like restoring and gifting dignity back to what is broken.
Yeah. I like the idea of like completion of loving kindness. Like, because like when I think of like loving kindness, like I don't usually put the word complete with it. But I think it just plays to like there is a time and a place for everything, and sometimes you do reach the completion of the loving kindness that you put into a person or a desired thing, and that's okay. And that there's sovereignty in it.
Yeah, like sometimes we don't, again with the seasons. You know, like there's a time for everything, and like being more present to know what's going on, what's happening in the, whether it be a relationship or a process or whatever, and also be present enough to see that it's complete, or that you've like done what you, what God would want you to do, and it's time to let go.
Yeah, and that's, as an Enneagram 2, it's really hard for me to do, especially to like be like, okay, my helping and my loving kindness through how I help is complete, because like I can't let that go very often. So that's really hard for me. So like that really stands out, because I can be like, no, it's okay that it's complete. Like that doesn't mean I failed.
Well, then I think in those situations, Why are we continuously needing to work towards something that's, like, that's really the root. You know? What compels us to do that?
And that's where it's healthy to be like, okay, that season is completed. And to reflect upon it, to see what the divine presence is trying to teach you and what you've mastered out of that season. But to also extend the loving kindness and grace and unconditional love that it is completed, and continue that loving kindness and grace into the next season that's coming.
I like benevolence and sovereignty.
Why?
Because we always talk about how God is sovereign, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, you're sovereign. And we also talk about God being benevolent. Like, when I think of benevolence, I think of, like, kind, nurturing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think to hold those two things together in regards to God, like, okay, sovereignty is supreme power or authority. Sorry, I'm looking these up so I get the exactness right. And that God is, like, all authority, all power, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but also benevolent.
Yeah.
Like, well-meaning and kindly. So, like, that there's a well-meaning intention behind, because I think we've had a lot of supreme power or authority in the world without a lot of benevolence.
Yep, I would agree with that.
So the fact that God is both sovereign, yes, supreme power and authority, but also that there is well-meaning and kindness and intentionality behind that toward humanity, toward all creation, is like, I think we can get into these stages in life. Like, I know you've heard this. I know I've said it myself in my young years, you know, now that I'm so old and turning 39. But in my early years, like 20, 19, 18, we've always said, like, we kind of project, like, the cruel things onto God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God is, like, mean, and God of the Old Testament, and, like, it's just cruel and all these things. So, and if life is difficult, we usually can project some of that onto God.
Mm-hmm.
And forget about, we all always hold the sovereign, but we forget about the benevolence. And so we can kind of project that. And it's not that things aren't hard, and it's not that things aren't crappy.
Mm-hmm.
But God is benevolent, and we might not see the whole picture. And usually we don't. And it doesn't mean it's going to be an easy picture either. And then can we trust that God is well-meaning, kindly looking out for humanity in his big picture?
Yeah, I agree. And that's, I think, we need to be generous with our idea on how we view God and how we view others, because the divine presence is also in others. And even on viewing the divine presence in ourself, I think I've said it before on here, but I'll say it again, like, I can be really hard on myself, so, like, when I catch myself doing that, I have to, like, ask myself, would I say this to someone else? Because if I wouldn't, then I'm not being generous to myself and the divine presence that exists inside of me.
And I just think God's more benevolent than we give him credit for. We just don't always see the motives or reasons why God does what God does.
That's, I think, divine presence with mastery. Like, the mastery comes from the divine presence.
Mm-hmm.
The divine presence is the master of all things, and we will never fully understand it.
Well, and it's like, if you think you're going to reach mastery without divine presence, I don't know.
Good luck on that one. Maybe reflect back upon it and see what happens.
Yeah, I just think that would be really hard to reach mastery without the presence of God. Like, God is the creator of all things. Yeah, I mean, okay. So we go and we, like, learn things in the world, and we go to what masters of those things that we want to learn, rather it's painting or crafting or, I don't know, whatever you would like. Like, now they have this thing called Masterclass online. Masterclasses. I have it. That does not shock me at all. But we're learning from masters, people who have mastered their craft. Right. So if we're looking for, like, completion or who we are, who we were created to be, we're looking for wholeness, we're looking to be seen, known, loved, there's only one master at those things.
Yeah.
Like, God knows how to do that. And usually knows more than we do.
Yeah, I think that's a good point of, like, to tie in the whole thing of, like, the reflection and the completion. When you feel like you've reached a complete state or a mastery in something, to look back upon it and reflect and see of, is the divine presence in that? Because if it's not, how are you truly a master? How have you truly reached completion?
And the fact that we will be working toward mastery and completion with God our entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, not taking the fruit that I have arrived in every area. Like, you know, that's where I think, like, the weeks where we really focus on humility helps.
Yeah. And that's, I like that this is the last week and the last day of each week that we reflect back upon, because it's before we've been looking at, like, what is the sovereignty of loving kindness, but now we're looking at what is the loving kindness of sovereignty. Like, before we were looking at the reflection of each previous one, but now the previous, now we're looking at each day in its reflection.
Mm. Yeah. What's the loving kindness of authority and power?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. And if you can't find it, red flag.
Yep. And this is probably the week that I like that chart that you usually look at, because I can see all of it and reflect upon it. And I can even see the rows in which, like, each word is said. So, like, if it's the fifth word of each week, how do all of the fifth words go together?
Mm. Oh, I've polluted how you're looking at the Omer. I love the chart, even though it is overwhelming.
It is. But I think it's very helpful for this time period when you really are having to reflect upon all of it. Then you truly need to see the fullness in all of it in one place.
Well, I'm just looking at the last word. Unconditional love, discipline of setting boundaries, balance, overcoming limitations, surrender, reciprocal relationship, and divine presence.
Mm-hmm.
Ah!
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So that's where it's nice to, like, look at it how you do, of how, like, the word, each word plays on itself. But, like, I look at the rows like that. Like, grace, justice, truth, endurance, humility, bonding, and completion.
Mm. That's a way to hold it, too. That's what I love about this, is that it creates a lot of space for reflection, for all these different things, for God to be speaking to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we're all different. We're all made differently. God speaks to us differently. We're all in different processes in life.
Yeah.
I just love the space this creates for that.
Yeah, I think that's a good question of, what space has the divine presence created for you so that you can reflect upon just your life in the past 42 days that we've sat in.
I like that. We're going to leave that there. See you guys tomorrow. I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening, and join us next time.